every now and then.
The artisans.
I hear fellas bragging on their women. And it makes me, how it makes me want to brag a little bit on my
exclusive collaboration.
I don't know where to start bragging on my woman because she's got so many good qualities.
Welcome to Between a Talk and a Hard Place, a podcast for women bringing you down-to-earth conversation about the realities of our real-life experiences. From situations to situationships, we'll be discussing the challenges women face but don't talk about enough as we navigate this thing called life. I'm your host, Lizette McKenzie.
All right. So, okay, ladies, we're back. And on today's episode, we're going to be talking about a topic that's near and dear to my heart. For those of you who may not know, back in October of this year, just two short months ago, I had surgery to have my thyroid removed. And while the surgery was a success, the healing process was a far cry from being asymptomatic. And as a matter of fact, it was that experience that birthed the idea to do a reoccurring episode on Between a Talk and a Hard Place called Health Matters, because it's obvious that the signs and symptoms of many medical illnesses and conditions are not always one size fits all. And I find that so many of us suffer in silence because what we may be experiencing falls short of what is considered normal. So joining Natira and I today to shed some light on the post-thyroid experience is Marilyn Sampson. But before we jump in, I do feel it's necessary to make a disclaimer that any information we share during this podcast is not intended to substitute professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. And any concerns you may have should be addressed by a physician or other qualified health provider. So on that note, welcome Natira and Marilyn.
Thank you.
And Marilyn, did you want to say a little bit about yourself?
My name, like she said, is Marilyn Sampson. I am a retired Navy veteran. I did 20 years in the Navy. I had Graves' disease.
Okay.
And that's where my story begins.
Okay. And Natira, you've never had any issues with your thyroid or anything like that, right?
Not that I'm aware of, no.
Okay, so you're the lucky one out the bunch. I'm jealous right now.
Don't be jealous. I have other health issues.
But I was so glad when I made a post in the group and Marilyn had responded. And when I tell you, when I made that post, and I can't remember exactly what the post was about, but it had to do with what I was experiencing after having my surgery. And when Marilyn responded, I can't tell you how much relief I felt, because right up until that moment, I felt like I was so alone. I felt like it was just me going through this experience, because I see other people walking around and they may have had hyper or hypothyroidism, and they, you know, they were pretty much acting normal, whereas I, to myself, I seemed like a lunatic. So just to shed some light on what was going on with me, I didn't know, and my doctor didn't share this with me, but I didn't know once the thyroid was removed, there was a possibility of me experiencing anxiety and panic attacks. I did know that, I would have a hoarse voice and I would experience tiredness, fatigue. But my doctor not once told me that there was a possibility that I would experience any of that. I've never had anxiety, never had depression, never had panic attacks.
Can I ask the thyroid removal, what were some of the symptoms and things that you had going on for them to check it?
I had a goiter. They call it, I hate that word. They call it a goiter. And what it is it's like a growth on your thyroid. Okay. It was huge. It actually measured 6 centimeters. And it was humongous. It was huge. So it had started.
Did you notice it or someone else noticed?
I started to notice it. At first, my doctor, you know, you go for your checkups and they check your neck. And my doctor noticed it. So we started monitoring it. Okay. And it was okay for a bit. But then all of a sudden, it just started growing enormously. And it got to the point where it started affecting my breathing. So if I would turn my head to the left, I would feel like I was choking.
Wow. Huh?
So, they gave me the decision. They said, well, I had one on both sides, but the one on the left side was the biggest. So I had the option of having them just remove the one on the left side and leaving the one on the right, I guess just to see how it progresses. But I said, you know what?
We didn't
monitoring both, the other one had also grown a little bit, I didn't want to have to go through the surgery all over again. So I was like, you know what, while you're in there, just take it all. I wish I could have my thyroid back. I can't tell you how bad I miss that bad boy. It's amazing how much, just to find out how much the thyroid actually controls. That little thing controls so much of what you do every day. And it was nerve-wracking to wake up in the middle of the night in sheer panic and not know why. I called the doctor's office, and the nurse, she was like, oh, well, that's not possible. And that just, like, took my panic to a whole new level, because I'm like, okay, this is not because of my surgery. What the heck is going on with me? So when Marilyn spoke up in the group, she made me feel so much better, because then I knew that I was not the crazy one. I knew, you know, I was listening to my body. I knew that the only thing different that had happened to me was the surgery and the fact that I'm doing, taking the synthetic thyroid hormones. That was the only different things about me that, you know, the new things that had happened. So when Marilyn spoke up, I was like, thank you, Lord. I am not going crazy.
So were you seeing an endocrinologist, or was this your primary care physician that saw this?
My primary care referred me to endocrinology. The endocrinologist referred me to the surgeon. And, you know, up until my symptoms, everything was great. Bedside manner was great. And I still haven't spoken to that doctor. I called and left him a message. And the only reason I knew, so what he ended up doing was increasing my dosage of medication.
Mm-hmm.
And luckily, I haven't had any more experiences since he increased the medication, but he still has not talked to me about it.
Wow.
After I spoke with that nurse, I guess she gave him the message, and then I received an email, not even a telephone call. I received an email that said, oh, the doctor wants you to increase your dosage. That's how I knew that kind of confirmed, Marilyn, what you were saying.
So impersonal.
Right. And I was like, you know what? Give me my medicine, but I would have appreciated you to talk to me about what's going on.
Right.
So what happened with you, Marilyn? How did your experience go?
Okay, so mine was kind of weird. Like I said, I was active duty military, and we had to get the TB skin test. So I went to get that, and I had a small reaction to it. Uh-huh. But the doctor that saw that said before doing, I think it was called titers or whatever they give you if you have a reaction to it, said before we go do this, I want to run some tests on you. So he started checking all kinds of things, and he said, okay, all of those came back fine. He said, but I want to do one last thing. I just don't want to put you on this medication for having a positive reaction to your TB skin test. Mm-hmm. So he sent me to the endocrinologist, and his name was Dr. Shakur. Mm-hmm. And so I'm sitting down. He had went through my record, And we're sitting down just talking back and forth. And I noticed he's just looking at me while we're talking.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, "You have a goiter." And I'm like, and mine wasn't that big. Mm-hmm. And I said, "Yeah, they run in my family." He's like, "Oh." He said, "Do you have mood swings?" And I said, "Yes, I do." Mm-hmm. And then he asked me, he said, does your family think you're mean or your coworkers?" I was like, "Well, they might think I'm mean. I just say what's on my mind." So asked him questions, and he said, "I'm thinking you might have either Hashimoto's disease or Graves' disease." Mm-hmm. I had symptoms like heart palpitations.
Mm-hmm.
I would break out in sweats. I would get ticked off at the smallest thing. I would come home from work, and if there was a fork in the sink, mm-hmm. I would go ballistic.
Mm-hmm.
My mother used to tell me, "You just mean." So for years, I'm thinking I am just a mean person sometimes.
Right.
And so he said, "I need to put you in the hospital," because I was also told that I was hypoglycemic.
Mm-hmm.
And he asked me, "If you fast for 3 days, what's going to happen?" I said, "I'm going to pass out."
Right.
So he's like, "I'm going to put you in the hospital because I want you to fast for 72 hours. And I want to run some tests so we can see exactly what you have here."
Mm-hmm.
Next day, I was in the hospital. He faxed on the back of his prescription pad. He faxed to my command to tell them she would be in the hospital for the next 3 days. And wow. It was just like that. So we get to the hospital. He runs all the tests and he comes back in and he tells me, "I'm not hypoglycemic." And he said, "But what you do have is Graves' disease." Mm-hmm. I had a hyperactive thyroidism.
Okay.
Okay. Now, during that period before he diagnosed me, it was easy for me to lose weight. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was just my metabolism. If I said I wanted to lose 10 pounds, boom, that 10 pounds was gone.
Right.
Mm.
And so it was part of the hyperactive thyroidism.
Mm-hmm.
Where you lose weight, some of my hair would come out and stuff.
Right.
And,
mm-hmm.
You know, some people tell me, you know, that they thought my eyes were bulged a little bit.
Right.
So when he told me I had the Graves' disease, he came in, he said, "I got good news and I got bad news. Which one?" I said, "Give me the bad news." He said, "You got Graves' disease." He said, "But the good news is I can fix you." So I'm like, okay.
You know. Just that easy. It's just that quick and easy, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but he's like, he explained to me that we could either put the disease in remission with medication,
mm-hmm.
or I could have a thyroidectomy, which you had,
mm-hmm.
or I could do the radioactive iodine, which would slowly kill the thyroid.
Mm-hmm.
And I was getting ready to answer him, but he was like, "No, I don't want you to answer me now. I need you to think about this and come back and see me in a week so we can see what we're going to do." And then he said, "And I need you to talk it over." I was married at the time. "Talk it over with your husband."
Mm-hmm.
"So he'll understand what's going on. And I would prefer if he came in with you so he could also understand what you're going through."
Right.
So, okay. So I went back with the husband in tow, and so we had decided to try and put the disease in remission. And I was given one medication. Oh my goodness, which one was it? Tapazole, I think it's called.
Mm-hmm.
And I had an allergic reaction to it.
Okay.
So itching and everything. So he took me off of that and I had to wait a week or two. And then he put me on one that has this long name. I can't pronounce, but they call it PTU for short.
Okay.
And put me on that.
I was allergic to that too.
Oh, wow.
He told me that 1% of the people that do that get allergic to it. So here I am in that 1%.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like, so now we got the option of the thyroidectomy or the radioactive iodine. I opted for the radioactive iodine.
Okay.
So I went in. They did an x-ray of my knee, I guess, looking at what my knee looked like so far as if there's iodine in it or whatever, how fast mm-hmm. it was. And then they gave me this radioactive iodine pill. Okay. And I had to sit there for a few hours. And then they went, took me back in and x-rayed to see how my body was absorbing that radioactive iodine.
Mm-hmm.
During that first like week, I couldn't, my plates had to be separate from my family's. I couldn't wash my plates with theirs.
Oh, wow.
I couldn't use the same bathroom that they were using. And I couldn't sleep in the same bed as my husband because of the radioactive iodine.
Wow.
So we went through all of that, and he explained to me that over the course of my thyroid dying, he said, you're going to have very low energy. You're going to gain up to 60 pounds.
Ugh.
I already was having bouts of forgetfulness. He said that was going to get worse.
Oh my God.
Before we got better. So I'm like, okay. At my height, I can't put another 60 pounds on because that's going to hurt. It's going to hurt because when I gain weight, my back starts hurting.
Uh-huh.
So I started working out like a mad woman. I got up in the morning at 5:00 in the morning and opened the gym up on the base and I worked out.
Uh-huh.
I was tired, but I'm like, I can't put 60 pounds on.
Right.
And I got so addicted to it, I was going 5 days a week. And then I got to the point where I would go open it in the morning and I'd close it down at night.
Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes I would go 6 days a week.
Wow.
And my memory was so bad where I would get up to go say something to somebody and walk 2 or 3 feet and forget what it was I was going to say.
Wow.
And so instead of me crying about it, I got through mine with laughter.
Uh-huh.
My doctor asked my permission to explain to my bosses what was going on and my coworkers. He asked my permission. I said, yes. So we did a conference call. Everybody in the office went into my big boss's office uh-huh. and we got a conference call. And he asked them, he said, just be patient with her right now. We're fixing her. And that she's going to forget things. She's going to get really tired. And I just ask for you all to just be patient with her.
Mm-hmm.
I'll get ready to cry because
it's okay.
The whole office was so, so supportive. And there were some days where I would go in the office and I'd be sitting at the keyboard.
Mm-hmm.
I'd just go to sleep.
Wow.
So my boss asked my immediate supervisor, he said, can you take her home? Because I don't want her trying to drive.
Right.
And he's like, somebody will pick you up in the morning for work so you can come get your car back.
Right. Absolutely. We don't need you falling asleep behind the wheel.
Yep. And I got where as soon as I knew I needed to say something to somebody, I write it on the post-it real quick.
Mm-hmm.
So that when I got to them, I could tell them, this is what I need right here.
And you know what? It's crazy because at least your doctor let you know in advance
yeah.
what the possible symptoms were that you'd be experiencing.
Yeah.
But it's amazing. Natira, I don't know if you know what the thyroid looks like and how small.
I've known people who have gotten it removed.
Mm-hmm.
And I had an incident with my daughter. I had them checked because it looked like she had a goiter too, but she uh-huh. didn't.
Okay, good. That one little thing controls so much. Your memory, your heart, yeah. your breathing. Like, it, what does it not do? My weight is a whole nother issue. If I could just glue, if I had some crazy glue in my thyroid back, I would stick it right back on my neck. Because this, I really did not knowingly sign up for this. I mean, granted, I would have had to take it out anyway, because it was affecting my breathing, but I would have appreciated a little bit more education. He made it seem, and my biggest concern when I walked in on my first appointment with the surgeon, my biggest concern was that I don't do hormones well. Birth control, anything with hormones, I never did well. I would always itch. My biggest concern was itching. And I told him, I said, listen, you know, once I get started on the synthetic thyroid hormones, I'm afraid that one of the side effects will be itching, because every time I've taken something with a hormone, that's what happens. And he's like, well, you know, we'll see. We'll play it out. The side effects that I've had, I would take itching any and every day over being afraid. And most of my fear, because I had 4 panic attacks. And
oh, wow.
Yeah. The first one, and I didn't even want to tell my husband, because I'm like, this man did not sign up for this. And he told me, he was like, why are you sitting there? I woke up in the middle of the night, afraid. I was asleep on the sofa, and I was afraid of absolutely any and everything and nothing at all. I was just afraid.
Wow.
And I went upstairs, and he was up getting ready for work, and I have a chair in my room, and I sat down, and he's looking at me, and I could laugh at it now, but he's looking at me. He had his pants in one hand, and he's like, he didn't know if he should turn his back, because he was like, the look I had, he was like, are you having an out-of-body experience? And he was like, I look, my eyes were wide, like, I looked frantic. And wow. I didn't know why. I couldn't explain to him what was going on. I didn't want to try, because I felt like I was going to look crazy. And he thought he was going to need to take, he actually took off from work for a week, because he was afraid to leave me in the house by myself. And the fact that when I called the doctor's office and the nurse told me that it was impossible for me to be experiencing that as a side effect from the surgery, that made me panic even more, because I was like, okay, I must really be losing my mind.
Yeah, see, I can only imagine, because yours was in the morning you had a thyroid, by afternoon you didn't. Mm-hmm. So yours was instantaneous.
Right.
Mine was gradual dying of thyroid, you know. So
it was crazy.
I think it goes to show, either way, especially in my opinion, for women of color,
yes,
always do your research, in and outside of the medical community, to know what it is that you're getting into. I had a fibroid removed once, and my mother begged me not to do it. She said, don't do it. And I did it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But that is one of my biggest regrets, because that was 6-7 years ago, and I still have pain from that surgery.
Wow.
And she told me that she said, don't do it. Don't do it. I said, I'm doing this.
Right.
you know, sometimes we don't have the full information, either because they didn't provide it or we didn't ask.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And a lot of times we don't know what we don't know. So
we don't.
It's like, you may not even know how to even formulate a good question
mm-hmm.
for them to give you what you need so you could be educated enough.
Right.
And I was blessed. I was blessed. I started off, like I said, with one doctor, Dr. Secure. And then as the, I was giving the radioactive iodine, instead of me going that hour and a half to see that doctor all the time, there was another doctor, Turtolo, that was at the base. And by the time we got through with tweaking my Synthroid and he weighed me, he was like, you're the only patient I've had. And he had been into endocrinologist for 35 years at that point.
Mm-hmm.
He said, you're the only patient I've had that's lost weight during this process. He said, what did you do? What did you do? And I just explained to him, I said, I knew that I couldn't put 60 pounds on my frame.
Right.
High blood pressure issues, back issues, knee issues, you know. Mm-hmm. So I said, the day that I was told that I would gain 60 pounds, I said, that day I started working out.
Yeah.
And I said, I was tired, but I had to keep pushing.
Right.
I had to keep pushing. So
that's where I'm at now. That, like, the weight gain, I have put on a few pounds, but I feel it. And it's so uncomfortable, but I still have not gotten to the point where I have my full energy back.
Right.
I'm doing a lot better because the first 3 weeks, there would be days where I couldn't even, my legs would be fine, but I just couldn't lift my upper body. Like, it just felt like lead. And all I could do was lay there all day. So at least now I feel I can get, I can get up and I can walk around, and I'm doing a lot more. But I still don't have that full energy. My husband went and got me an elliptical machine. And
I love those things.
Girl, I got on that thing for 2 whole minutes and I slept for 6 hours.
On a low tension, on a low, and just, you got to work yourself into it.
Into it, yes.
If once you get past that first 4 minutes, you good. But you gotta get past that first 4 minutes.
I gotta get past it.
Put it on a low level, and just, you know, do a few minutes, and then
get you a long song to work out to.
There you go.
And say, okay, I'm gonna do this one song. I have a song that's 10 minutes. It's a gospel song.
Mm-hmm.
And I say, I'm going to get through this one song. And then once you get through it, it's easier because you've broken through that plane.
Yeah.
Getting to that point is very difficult, especially when you're doing it on a regular basis.
It is.
So just get you a long song. Find one that's like 5-6 minutes and just say, this, if I can do this one song, I'm good.
I'm going to need a defibrillator, too, because them 2 minutes on that elliptical, I thought I was dying.
You probably but you're not going to die.
Hey,
I promise you're not going to die. It feels like it, but you ain't not.
But it was, you know, it was a scary experience. I'm glad that I have not had any more of those episodes, but that just made me think about how many people are experiencing things that don't seem like it would be related to their actual symptoms or their experience.
Right.
It took me, let me see. And so I'm working on my master's degree in clinical mental health counseling. I have a diagnosis manual. So I'm in here diagnosing myself with any and everything under the sun. And that that made me think, I was like, you know what, let me Google these symptoms. It didn't come up when you put symptoms for thyroid. That you had to be real specific in what you were looking for. And if, you know, who knows to look for that, right?
Yeah.
So when I looked it up, lo and behold, there were cases where people were experiencing panic and anxiety and were being admitted into psychiatric institutes. And one of the situations that stood out the most for me was a man that his family, he was fine that morning, and he started acting a little strange, and his family took him to the hospital, and they admitted him into the psychiatric ER. So once they did his blood work, it was determined that he was not having a psychiatric problem. He was having a thyroid hormone imbalance, and they moved him over to the medical unit. So that made me think, like, you know, how many people right now are sitting in a psychiatric facility and they don't even belong there?
Because they've had a thyroid storm or something.
Right.
And years ago, before science got to where they, you know, figured out well, let's check the thyroid. Mm-hmm. Years ago, so many people were institutionalized
yes.
for having mental illness, when it's not a mental illness, it's a physical mm-hmm. ailment.
Yes. You know?
And that's another thing my doctor told me about, too. He's like, years ago, people used to get institutionalized for this. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yes. And that's why I was afraid to tell my husband, because he's looking, he was like, I need to take you to the hospital. And I was like, but I'm not, and this was and to myself, I'm like, but I'm not crazy. And I know if I go to the hospital in the state that I'm in right now, they're going to try to lock me in there, because mm-hmm. I was not right. I was not right at all. And I was like, no, I can't. And he, you know, if it would have gotten worse, I would have had no choice but to go. But right. it started subsiding. I was happy that it started subsiding, and I was able to go to sleep. Mm-hmm. But I was afraid. I was like, I don't want to go to the hospital, because they're not gonna understand me. They're not gonna listen to me. And there was something else. Oh, foods when you have a thyroid problem. Something else that I did not know. There are quite a few things that you either should not eat, or you should minimize deeply.
Okay.
For me, I had hypothyroidism. Some of the things that I should not be eating, I found a website, and I'm going to actually put the link for Everyday Health, and it gives 9 foods that you should avoid when you have hypothyroidism, which is a low functioning, being that I don't have one anymore. It's considered hypothyroidism because it's not functioning. It's low functioning. So soy, tofu, miso, all these things that I was trying to eat more of. I actually saw a nutritionist, and she, try soy, eat more leafy greens, eat your spinach, eat your kale. If I have a thyroid problem, I should not be eating broccoli, cauliflower, kale, turnips, cabbage, Brussels sprouts, all the things that I was being told to eat. I should not have been eating, because that was affecting my thyroid issue even more. Gluten, things found in bread and pasta and rice. Well, like at this point, I feel like right now, the only thing I could do is walk around licking the air. At this point, I'm going to be walking around just inhaling air. And these are all things that affect, you know, that affect, and I wish I would have known, because once I started, I'd say, okay, I need to lose weight. So I did, what is that? The green smoothie. The green smoothie challenge, I think it is. And I was doing that. I was so dedicated, but it was the wrong thing to do when I had a thyroid issue.
Right. Wow.
Yep. And nobody ever told me. You would think, because my doctor referred me to the nutritionist, has access to my records.
Those things that you said is something that someone who's going vegan or vegetarian would eat: soy, tofu, more vegetables, more leafy greens.
Yes.
And if you have a thyroid problem, yes. that's really not the way to go for that.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. So I'm like, and it says too much fiber from beans and that. Like, what the heck? What am I supposed to eat? I'm going to eat
chicken. Chicken.
I can eat chicken, but it can't be fried. Chicken. They say not fried.
Well, make it. Put some barbecue sauce on the side.
I will every now. I have no thyroid anymore. I'm going to have me some fried chicken. You cannot tell a black woman she can't handle fried chicken.
Just do it sometimes.
Sometimes.
Make the rest.
Yes.
I got one of those air fryers, and I'll do my wings in that.
Yes. And I need to invest. I need to get one.
That satisfies that, but sometimes I still need to go get me some real fried.
Yes. And you know, all of these are things that were never discussed with me, and I wish that I was better informed. It probably would not have changed my decision to have my thyroid removed, but at least I would have went into it with more knowledge of what I should expect, and it wouldn't have been such a big shock for me.
Right.
But I mean, there's people that are going through this, and because it's so outside of the norm, they're not saying anything, and these people are suffering because I was suffering.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow. And I had never heard of Graves' disease or Hashimoto's disease or any thyroid stuff. And then after I was diagnosed and was going through these things, one of my coworkers said his 10-year-old daughter had these. And I'm like, oh my God. Yeah. And then George and Barbara Bush both had Graves' disease.
Uh-huh.
You know, you start hearing things about it. Then I started becoming more aware of looking for people with bulging eyes or void, you know, or if I saw somebody that had, you know, this unusual weight gain or weight loss, and they were like, no matter what I do, I can't fix it. I said, tell them, check your thyroid. Check your thyroid. Because that thing runs a lot of stuff.
Everything.
Yeah.
Everything. I didn't realize how much. I was like, you know what? Of all the things that could go wrong with me, I always have that worst thing. I'm always that one in 1,000, and I always have the worst thing to happen. And of all things, it would be my thyroid.
Yep. Yeah.
Well, Marilyn, I'm so thankful that you helped me see that I was not alone. I wasn't the only one experiencing that. And it made it a lot more easier for me to admit that I was feeling a lot off, and it wasn't my fault. You know, it wasn't a psychosis.
You're not crazy.
I wasn't going
You're
crazy.
You're not mean. You have
the mean thing, I don't know. That's kind of on the fence. I don't know. I think that was a problem before the thyroid, but I'm not too sure.
Yeah, I don't snap like I used to. So when I, you know, explain to my children what I was going through, you know, and I explained so they would understand what the heck is going on with their mom.
Right.
So bless my youngest son's heart. He must have been about 12 at that time.
Mm-hmm.
He looked at me. He said, "Now don't get mad, Ma." He said, "So does that mean you're not gonna yell at us anymore?" I said, "No, I'm gonna still yell at you."
You're not off the hook that easy.
Yeah, I said, but it'll be because you truly deserved it, not because fork in the spoon. Because that, you know, I think back to that. I'm like, I came in raised hell with my sons because there was a fork in the sink.
Yeah.
And I told them I was not cooking dinner.
Yeah.
One fork in the sink.
And it wasn't your fault. You know what? As women, we go through a lot. Our bodies go through so much. Our emotion, we go through a lot. But we're amazing creatures. We are definitely amazing creatures. And this discussion was definitely much needed. And I hope that once people hear this episode, they feel more comfortable with talking about things that they're experiencing. And not just to let other people know, but just to connect. Because sometimes you just need that connection. Sometimes your doctor, and this is going to be another topic that I'm going to discuss in the future, how Black women or women of color are treated by their doctors. We don't normally get the same care that other women get. And I think that's also something worth talking about, because we need to learn how to educate ourselves. Granted, we won't know every question to ask, but we need to know how to research what's going on and listen to our own bodies.
And when you go to the doctor, write down, as you think of, like, a week before you going, if you think of a question, write it down. Because when you get in there, they are like mechanics. They're in and out, you know. And not all of them are like that. There are some that truly will have a conversation with you to see what's going on, you know, but write your questions down. And when they get in there, let them go on and examine you, and then say, all right, I have some questions.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Ask your questions. Ask
absolutely.
Them. And there's no such thing as a silly question.
Nope, not at all. Listen to your body. Don't take no for an answer.
And get second opinions.
Yep.
That's important to
what does this doctor say? Yeah.
And let's see if they match up to what I'm feeling and think we should do.
Absolutely. Well, ladies,
I've had to go on a couple of doctors in my day. No, listen. You are not listening.
Yeah. Yep.
Not happy about it.
I've done that too. I'm like, how are you gonna tell me that we need to take this course of action? When you have not looked at any x-ray, any MRIs, you have not touched my neck, you know, because that's where my problem. How are you going to just tell me that? We're not going to do this today. We're going to do this the right way. He looked at me like I was crazy.
Yep, and that's all right. Let him look at you.
Because they're not expecting that. They expect for people to fall in line, and I've had to do. How are you going to write me a prescription for what? What are you writing me a prescription for? You don't even know what the problem is.
Right, absolutely.
But you don't. You haven't done the due diligence to find the answer to the problem. Mm-hmm. You want to mask, cover the symptoms. No, we need to get to the root.
Yeah, the root of it.
The root of this problem.
Or what?
Calm down, Miss King. Calm down. Don't tell me to calm down. I don't hear nothing about calm down right now.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm hurting, and you're not telling me why. And it's not that necessarily I'm expect for the doctor to know why. But I do expect you to do your due diligence to try to find out.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I did have one question I asked one doctor, and she looked at me. She said, you know, I really don't know. And she pulled up whatever medical thing they need and looked it up. And like, okay, here it is right here. And she turned the computer screen around, and we read it together.
Right. Yep. And that's fine.
You know what? I can accept that.
Yes, because she's still human. You know, she's not a superwoman. They're still human, but at least she made that effort to try to help.
Yeah, but there are certain things that they are supposed to know.
Yeah, there are.
For instance, when I was pregnant with my first daughter, and I was first diagnosed with diabetes, I was seeing this one doctor, and she had me on pills, but I had stopped taking them because they were making me ill. So when I went back to her, she said, well, continue taking the medicine. I said, I'm not taking that medicine. I said, I thought pregnant women are supposed to take pills because it plastics the placenta. This black lady turned sheep red. I mean, she turned all different types of colors. And said, give me just a moment. Let me consult with my colleague. I said, no, you're going to kill my baby. I'm done.
Yeah.
Because that you should know as a practitioner. You should know that.
Yeah.
If you are not used to dealing with pregnant patients, you shouldn't see them.
Yep, absolutely.
I mean, that's just basic common sense to me.
Yeah, I agree. But
no, I mean, I do think we need to give them a little bit of slack. They're not going to know every single solitary thing, but as long as they're doing their due diligence to try to find out, I mean, you got to cut them some slack and cut yourself some slack. I think that's most of all, because sometimes we beat ourselves. I didn't ask this, or I didn't do this right, or I didn't, you know, I didn't follow through or follow up or whatever the case may be. We are our biggest critics. Anyway,
yeah.
I think when it comes to practicing medicine and the doctors, we need to just make sure. It's good to be in a community of people who know, who can identify and know what you're going through and tell you what you might, just like in this particular situation.
Absolutely. And so on that note, ladies, I thank you so much for taking part in this discussion. And to the listeners, I want to say, listen to your body. Your symptoms might seem unusual, but they're real. Make sure you talk to your doctors, you ask questions, you seek second opinions, talk to people that you can confide in, but don't suffer in silence.
That's right.
And you can keep the conversation going on Facebook at Between a Talk and a Hard Place. Until next time, stay safe.